Please turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to our text this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll start reading in verse 22, and we'll take it to verse 27, and then we'll drop down and read verse 31 together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And let's drop down to verse 31. It says, Paul here says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So Pastor Cooley asked me if I would bring a sermon on the biblical doctrine of geocentricity and its connection with the final authority of our King James Bible. So let's get started with a word of prayer. Gracious Lord and Father, I ask for the sake of the words in the blood of Jesus, that thou wouldest grant a special blessing and grace to all who hear this sermon. I ask a special blessing so that they may hear with a mind full of peace, edifying their souls. And I ask for grace that they, by thy grace, the eyes of their understanding may be opened, and that their hearts may be drawn closer to thee. And if there be any glory, it is thine, O Lord, amen. And no, I did not write that prayer. And you can probably tell I was reading that prayer. That prayer is the prayer of Brother Bao in his book for us. This book. That was Brother Bao's prayer. That's our prayer this morning. It's a good prayer. We've read in today's text verses, and it is from that that I have derived the title of this message and focused your attention on the first half of verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body. And it is my prayer and intention that God would show maybe some of you in this body, and perhaps some Christian listener, not a member of this church, quote, a more excellent way, as we see. That's why I looked at verse 31. He says, I show you a more excellent way. So we can always, as Christians, learn of a more excellent way. We can always grow in Christ, in the Word of God, and come to a better understanding of God through His Word, and we can live our lives in a more excellent way. And we can be better equipped as Christians to be effective agents for God in this world and what we're supposed to be doing, our mission here on earth. Who exactly is the fool? That's a good question for today's world. Who exactly is the fool? And like Brother Jacob said, I echo his sentiments from Wednesday night that he felt like he's preaching to the choir. And I realize here, with geocentricity, the authority of the Word of God, those subjects, we have a pretty good handle on those here at this church. So in a sense, preaching to the choir, but it's stuff we all need, and it's all edifying, it's all good. Who exactly is the fool? The one who sees himself at rest, and all the rest of God's creation moving around, or the one who believes it is actually the earth moving around along with everything else? Well, there's only one way of knowing. There's one way of knowing some things in this life. You can know some things in this life. You can know them. Not everything's relative. Not everything's up for debate. You can know some things. You can absolutely know some things today for certain. As I often say, biblical Christianity is a know-so religion. It's not a think-so religion. Biblical Christianity is a know-so. You can know some things. You can know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You can know that you're born again. You can know these things. The Holy Ghost testifies to our spirits that we are indeed the children of God. We know some things. If you truly believe the Bible, you can know these things. Truly believing the Bible, this book, that is the only way to avoid schism or division within the body. That's the only way. Knowing this book. Churches don't have to apostatize. Many churches today have apostatized, but they don't have to, because we have the words of God. And if we bring our lives into conformity with the Word of God, that's how you avoid all schism and division. It's that simple. Talking about this morning, the authority of the King James Bible in the doctrine of geocentricity. Modern science presupposes that the earth moves. Thus, we, Bible-believing Baptists, or Biblicists, if you will, are very few in number with our proposition. Our premise, the proposition upon which our argument is based, is this. And I'll quote this. Our proposition is this. The only absolutely trustworthy information about the origin and purpose of all that exists and happens is given by God, our Creator and Redeemer, in His infallible, preserved Word. The Holy Bible, commonly called the King James Bible. There's some shifts in our little circles of operation nowadays, some shifts. But you watch and you be grounded in the Word, and you stay steadfast to the truths you've learned, and you'll be okay. Measure everything according to the Word of God. Be a good Berean. There's some shifts in the Association for Biblical Astronomy, overtaken by a new director, you know, and there's some differences. There's some differences there. The credo was changed. I quoted you from the old credo, the one that I ascribe to. Brother Bao was very clear about what the Word of God was, the King James Bible. That's why I embraced it earlier on, because I was a great believer in the authority of the words of God. And when I was introduced to the doctrine of geocentricity and the way Brother Bao brought it together in talking about the infallibility of Scripture, that God says what He means and means what He says, we need to embrace that. The King James Bible. Don't let anyone throw fog into the scenario. In any scientific endeavor which does not accept this revelation, the King James Bible from on high, without any reservations, we reject as already condemned in its unfounded first assumptions. Now there's a mouthful. We believe that the creation was completed in 6 24-hour days, and that the world is not older than about 6,000 years. We maintain that the Bible teaches us of an earth that neither rotates daily nor revolves yearly about the sun. That that it is at rest with respect to the throne of him who called it into existence, and that hence it is absolutely at rest in the universe. And I hopefully I'll be able to convey to you why the passion for this, why the importance of this through the message. So who is the fool according to God? I say the fool is one who repeats Satan in the garden in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 1. Yea, hath God said? Satan called into question the plain words of God. And in direct contrast, to whom does the book look? Look to, who does God look to according to the word of God? In Isaiah 66 verses 1 and 2. Let's go there. Isaiah 66. Who does God look to? Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Who does God bless? Who does God look to? Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That's who God honors, the man that trembles at the word of God. Very few men today. Even pastors tremble at the word of God. Our pastor does, and I thank God for him. Our pastors got confused. So as a result, this church isn't confused about what the word of God is. The word of God, singular, contains the words of God, plural. So that's who God looks to. You going to be like that, a biblicist, or are you going to be like a secular humanist and like Satan, who says, yea, hath God said. Those, that's the battle lines have been drawn. When a battle line's drawn, whether you acknowledge it or not, you're on one side or the other. The battle lines have been drawn. The battle is over the authority of the King James Bible. The doctrine is geocentricity. Beautiful and true are the words right there in the very context of creation we read, and loaded with geocentric doctrine. Those verses we just read in Isaiah. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. All loaded with geocentric doctrine. I'm telling you, in love, God will not be mocked. Before Copernicus, Galileo, and Newton came around, one was considered a fool to believe that the earth moved around the sun. Now we live in a post-Copernican revolution world, where one is generally considered a fool for believing that it is the sun that moves around the fixed earth once daily. Understand this, Christian. Geocentricity is a lot more than merely cosmological mechanics. It's a lot more than just how the heavens go. What's going around, what the actual mechanics, dry physics, dry... It's a lot more than that, because it's tied to the Holy Scriptures. It's an essential doctrine. Geocentricity is about the final authority of the King James Bible, which is God's final authority on every subject it speaks. Faith, practice, morality, history, ethics, philosophy, and yes, science. But most importantly, your personal responsibility before your Creator. That's the most important thing. Why is Christianity in the woodshed today? Geocentricity. Christianity in the woodshed. Well, if being a Christian, I'm kind of concerned about that. That kind of concerns me. If Christianity is in the woodshed today, which it is, I want to know why it's in the woodshed. Why is Christianity in the woodshed? As the title of Brother Jerry Bowles' book titled Geocentricity goes on to state, why is this world in the shape it's in today? Because there is a spiritual famine in the land. That's why. Very similar to the spiritual famine that was in the land of Israel. Israel found itself in this spiritual famine. We read about it in Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Seeing if Amos is paying attention. Amos chapter 8 and verses 11 through 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Why aren't they going to find it? Why wouldn't they find it? Pride? Pride. God resists the proud. He gives His grace to the humble. If you don't find the words of God, that's your fault. We're showing you where the words of God are. We have the book. We have the Holy Scriptures. If you don't find them, that's your fault. Because of pride. That's what it is. The root sin of pride. The same pride, the same sin that caused Satan to say in the Garden of Eden, yea, hath the Lord said, questioning the words of God. A famine from hearing the words of the Lord. Notice in verse 11, the words of the Lord, plural. Specific words as found in the Holy Scriptures. And the word of the Lord in verse 12. Singular, small w, the Holy Scriptures. Look, as far as geocentricity is concerned, the issue is the stability, the fixity of the earth. But the real issue is this, the question every Christian should ask themselves, is the King James Bible to be the final authority in my life on all matters, or are the scholars and non-believing sub-Christians going to be my ultimate authority? The central issue is not the motion of the earth, nor is it the creation of the earth. The issue is final authority. It is to be the words of God. Is it to be the words of God or the words of men? The issue is final authority. The words of God or the words of men? I personally appeal to Psalm 119, the whole psalm, amen, and encourage you to do the same. Reread it. That's where we need to be grounded. Psalm 119, when it comes to the Word of God, this King James Bible, be grounded in Psalm 119. Today for us today, living today, for us, God's final authority is the perfected King James Bible. Perfect. Down to the very jot and tittle. Holy words recorded for us by God. You take careful note of a man's ministry. We are to examine everything in the light of Scripture. Let's take a quick look and focus for a minute on a few of the assumptions Jerry Bow operated under while writing his book. Assumptions. The purpose of this book is to teach the churches that they erred greatly in the 17th century when they transferred the authority of Scripture to science when it comes to dealing with the physical realm. Amen. In order to fulfill that purpose, I must hold God to much stricter and higher standards than do most modern theologians. To that end, I list the assumptions I labor under when it comes to handling the Holy Bible. I assume that Scripture was written and preserved by an omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. There are certain properties a book inspired by such a God should exhibit. Number one, Scripture must be free of internal contradictions. Number two, Scripture must be free of all logical paradoxes, such as the liar's paradox. And he talks about what that is. Do we even know what a paradox? Up until like last week, I couldn't give you the definition of a paradox. Study in geocentricity, what God will give you your mind back. The world tried to take my mind, and it took much of it as a lost man. God will restore you. He will renew. He will renew your mind. And he can, as you're studying his word in these things, and geocentricity, it's amazing the avenues that God will open up. The word of God just kind of opens up. Scripture must be free of all logical paradoxes, such as the liar's paradox. If you don't understand what a paradox is, you're not going to understand the satanic New Age versions, perversions of God's word. You'll be able to identify God's words if you know these things. An example. In every satanic New Age perversion of God's words, Titus 1:12 suffers from the liar's paradox. When a Cretan says Cretans are always liars, the paradox arises as follows. Paul says the Cretan speaks the truth, but if Cretans always lie, then the speaker, as a Cretan, must be lying. But if he is lying, then Cretans must always tell the truth, and he, as a Cretan, must be telling the truth, and so on, round and round and round. Only the authorized version avoids the paradox by saying Cretans are always liars. Always is the accusative case, which exempts the accuser from the accusation. It avoids the liar's paradox because of that word always. You think it's not important that it says always and not always? It's important. Amen. Every letter, every word, it's important. Because as soon as they change always to always, you've introduced a paradox. It's not scripture. It can't be. It can't be. Number three, scripture cannot have any historical errors. Number four, scripture cannot have any physical errors. You get that? You see how I was led to look into scripture cannot have any physical errors. So you're looking at that. Printer's errors, little minor publisher's errors. And you follow that trail of logic down through by studying geocentricity, and it leads you to a perfect presentation of the Word of God. Perfect in every way. If God preserves something, it's going to be preserved perfectly. God said, I will purify my words seven times. Where are his words? Right here in the King James Bible. He purified them seven times. It's not hard. If you believe the Bible. Scripture cannot contain any grammatical errors. Scripture will always be written in a language especially designed to survive the corruption of the words in general use. In effect, inspired scripture is cast in a sacred or theological language, easily learned by those who will bother to read it. As such, secular meanings of words should not be read back into the sacred text. That's enough. Those are some of the assumptions that Dr. Bao, a King James Bible believing astronomer and astrophysicist and Christian man, labored under. So watch a man's ministry. Where is he coming from? The man had what I like to call a high view of Scripture. And he clearly defined what the Scripture actually is, the King James Bible. This is a sure foundation to start out on, not a figment of one's own imagination. And when I say the King James Bible was recorded for us, I mean everyone on the face of this fixed earth, Jew, Gentile, or Christian, saved or lost. And now let's look back at Amos 8. Let's go back to Amos 8, if you would. And there, I would like to draw your attention to the specific sign that God said he would give to the Jews that a spiritual famine was coming. And why? A sign that came to pass and was an actual historical event. Verse 9. Quote, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon. and I will darken the earth in the clear day. So that's exactly what God did. Let God be true, and the scripture cannot be broken. And they are not broken, like many minds are broken today, and in need of healing of the Almighty God, Jesus Christ. This Jesus, the one who said to Abram, quote, I am the Almighty God in Genesis 17:1. And in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That Jesus, the Jesus that wrote this book, that Jesus. Look, God caused the sun to go down at noon. And in another place we read, Psalm 104, verse 19, He appointeth the moon for seasons, the moon being a type of the bride of Christ, His church, operating in her seasons, dispensational theology. The sun knoweth His going down. The sun, a type of Christ, He knew He was going to come down. He knew He was going to come down here. And He also knows they'll never crucify Him again. They're not going to be able to crucify Him again. He knows that He went down into the earth. And He knows He went up. And He's coming back down again soon. He knows what up and down is. And He's able to explain that to us. So do we, because we have the Holy Scriptures. We know what up and down is. This world, this anti-biblical, ungodly world, they don't even know what up and down is. Like Brother Aaron said last week, they don't know nothing. They know nothing. But biblical Christianity is a no-so religion. It's all measured and perceivable from our, quote, preferred inertial frame. Preferred inertial frame. Geocentricity. What in the world is a preferred inertial frame? Study geocentricity. Study the authority of the King James Bible and you'll find out. The center of the fixed earth. It's all measured from the center of the fixed earth. Up and down. The non-movable earth. An absolute frame of reference. Similar to the King James Bible. An absolute frame of reference. Similar to the King James Bible. A perfect, immovable reference for all things important. Things that matter to God. Like us. People, human beings matter to God. And His will matters. The King James Bible, with its sole claim of absolute final authority over and above and superior to any other written book, document, or extant groupings of words on earth in any language, these are important to God. These words in the King James Bible are living. No other words has the God breathed in or inspired life. You see, we have the Holy Scriptures, and as ambassadors of Christ, we are to keep His words. And we do here. For the most part, as far as I know, we do keep His words. We may not always obey His words, but we keep His word. We're stewards of these words. We're not going to let, if it's up to us, we're not going to let anyone mess with these words. We need to take our responsibility seriously. Jesus took His responsibility seriously. We need to be just like Jesus, our Master. We biblicists, we believe in absolutes. We do not believe everything is relative. We absolutely do not believe there's truth. Now I have about 20 more pages. So I don't. We don't believe there's truth found in any science or math if it contradicts God's plain revealed truth in the King James Bible. We absolutely do not believe there is any true science in Einstein's general relativity. Do you know why Einstein invented and concocted and thought up his theory of relativity? Do you know why he did that? Why did he do that? He did it. He did it. It was invented to get the earth moving around the sun. In no other reason. No other reason than to discredit Holy Scripture. That's why he did it. To get the earth moving around the sun. No other reason. No, not all motion is relative. And not all morals and so-called truth are relative either. We believe in absolutes. That's why some of us are called bigots. Because we believe in absolute truth. So they can call us bigots. We believe the King James Bible, period. The small W Word of God, authored by the capital W Word of God, Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Now, is it hallelujah or is it hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah? Amen. Like in the little dumb movie we watched, when the harvest came and the grain came, and those people were really praising God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Looking to heaven, raising up holy hands. Is it hallelujah? Or is it really worship to God? It's exciting. It's something to shout about. It's amazing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A universal word. It means the same in every language on the face of the earth. Next, we say we believe in the perfect words of God. Our lives should reflect that fact. These are issues of soul liberty between you and God. They absolutely are. Notice I keep using the word absolutely. We need to conform our lives to what the Word of God demands of us, not necessarily what we think or what any man thinks it means. This is sanctification. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Berean, get your answers from God and His Word. The Holy Ghost will teach you and comfort you when you exercise faith. What is faith? Dependency upon God and expectancy from God to the point where simply the Word of God, the King James Bible, is enough. God says it, and I believe it. That's faith. Exercise it. So back to our great deep philosophical question here. What is up and what is down? Brother Bao has a whole chapter in his book, Geocentricity, that tells us exactly what it is and where and how it is measured. Where did he get his information? From the Bible. And it's essential, fundamental, foundational doctrine of geocentricity that absolutely explodes the historical development of Bible criticism. They call it higher criticism. It's just plain filthy criticism, right. Bible criticism, an ism. Now resulting in an increasingly anti-Christian world, preaching a life that is essentially meaningless, but we'd better care. We'd better care about the issues of life. No schisms in the body, isms, ism. I looked at hundreds of isms. The list could go on and on. The only ism that I saw was a good ism was baptism, and that separates like all other isms, but that separates in a good way. No schisms in the body. Up and down. To understand truly what that word actually means, they have to be defined and understood using a geocentric coordinate system, as seen from the third heaven. To use a non-geocentric coordinate system, as seen from the third heaven, is to lead to your teaching a self-contradiction. As Christians, we are to avoid self-contradictions. And our lives are not to be meant to be walking, talking, breathing, living contradictions either. The world picks up on this very quickly, and it puts our faith to shame. Basically, please know this. Since the mind of man is subject to the fall, it cannot possibly correct God's Word, the King James Bible. And two, the fabled book of nature, as they call it, cannot be relied upon to correct the written word of God. which is incorruptible and directly given by inspiration of God. But even so, when it comes to geocentricity, creation bears witness to the immobility of the earth when every scientific experiment designed to measure the speed of the earth through space returns a speed of zero. Michelson, Morley, the whole, all the other truly scientific experiments, zero. Science has not proven that the earth goes around the sun. In fact, all the evidence favors geocentricity. It agrees with the Bible. This guy Copernicus, okay, in his Copernican revolution in the late 1500s. The Copernican revolution was a revolution against God's authority and the final authority of his words. His book had a long, fancy title. They call it, for simplicity, you can just call it Revolutions. Copernicus's book, it was Revolutions. It was a book about revolutions. They're against something. If you're partaking in a revolution, you're against something. The Copernican Revolution, was a revolution against God's authority and the final authority of God's words. Amen. Heliocentrism, this idea that the sun is at the center, heliocentrism, or Copernicanism, isms, is also a direct attack on the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and an attack on the doctrine of the infallibility of Scripture. I mean, do you take offense to that? I do. I do. It's a lot more than just the mechanics of what's going around what. I mean, really, in the scheme of things, who really cares? God upholds it all by his power and his strength. But geocentricity is a doctrine that is deep, foundational, necessary doctrine. It is also an attack on common sense observation and a devilish doctrine of devils, a Jewish fable that causes anyone who still has a functioning brain to question the very words of God. And as we'll see, it is the root cause of all the other subsequent isms. So Copernicanism, the Copernican Revolution, was a root cause for all the subsequent isms that came after it. Okay, that's kind of a bold claim. Because there were isms before the Copernican Revolution, but there were a lot of really bad isms that came into this world after the Copernican Revolution and as a direct result of the Copernican Revolution, of questioning God's word and the authority of his words. God will not be mocked. Isms. Root causes of isms. It's borne much poison and deadly fruit, this Copernican Revolution. Man is a hypocrite at best, especially unregenerate man. Let's look at some more of the fruit of this devilish revolution against God waged by the Copernicans. I have no idea what time it is, and I think I had a lot more. Okay. All right. I got no idea what I'm doing up here. 400 years ago, understand this, there was a debate raging amongst the learned men of Europe about whether or not the earth orbits the sun. Until then, it was commonly accepted that the sun, moon, stars, and planets that surrounded the earth were centered on the earth. Common sense and biblical hermeneutics dictates this fact. In the debate, you had two groups of people. The biblicists held that the sun goes around the earth once a day. The secularists, the devil's crowd, okay, maintain that the earth rotates daily on its axis and orbits the sun once a year. Because we have been so convinced and conditioned by this idea for several centuries, we have become accustomed to the belief in this model. Convinced and conditioned by the science establishment. Okay, take you back in time. A little boy growing up in New Hampshire and going on a field trip with my school down to the Boston Museum of Science. And there they got the big, huge display of the pendulum. What's it called? Oh, the Foucault. The Foucault pendulum. But then later on is a 56-year-old man, saved by the grace of God, standing in a pulpit in a little Baptist church in Northfield, Minnesota, you know, showing you that that's heliocentric humbug. The Foucault pendulum, that doesn't prove that the earth is spinning at all. See how good God is? If you desire the truth, God will show you this. Richard Elmendorf, he's a friend of mine. I've never met him. He's a geocentrist. He's mailed me stuff. You know, old guy. A lot of these guys are older and they're passing off the scene, though. We get a lot of young folks here. And we got new blood, and we need to learn these things. A lot of these old guys, they did a lot of work. They labored hard and heavy, and they believed that God's word, the Bible, some of them I don't even think were saved, but they believed that God's word was authoritative, and they honored God, whether they were saved or not. I don't know. I don't know those things. Only God knows those things. That's between your salvation is between you and God. Only you can truly know if you're saved or not. But they labored, and they respected the words of God. And I respect that. I can respect them for that anyway. So, because of this, because we've been conditioned and convinced and all this, for many to think otherwise, that's preposterous. Right? Remember when you first learned of the young earth? The earth isn't billions and billions of years old. It's like 6,000 years old. That's old enough. 6,000 years is a long time. But it seemed like preposterous because you've been taught and conditioned to believe something else. It's kind of shocking to your system. The Biblicist view, originally called geocentrism, believed that the earth is at the center of the universe. The humanist view, called heliocentrism, held that the sun is at the center of the universe. Although to this day, the original sun-centered heliocentric view is taught as correct, technically no one believes it today. Nobody believes in the sun-centered universe anymore. But it's taught as truth. It's bizarre. It's just bizarre that even some Christians believe that the sun is at the center and that we're going around the sun. And all the scientists and stuff, they've moved way beyond that. It's an acentric, they say. It's acentric. It doesn't have a center. Instead, today's science claims that the Earth is an insignificant planet that revolves around a run-of-the-mill star called the sun, and that these two are lost in the vastness of space like a grain of sand on the Sahara Desert, and that there's no center of the universe, or that the center of the universe is everywhere. They don't know. That last bit I just read to you, that's called the Copernican principle. That the earth is, it's nothing special. It's not like it's at the center of God's creation and then God created man as the crowning creation to have dominion over the earth, and that Jesus came to save fallen man. And that's all just a bunch of garbage according to the Copernican, the Copernican principle. So do you hold to the Copernican principle? I don't want to hold to that. They don't know anything. When geocentrism, the earth being stationary at the center of the universe, was finally pronounced dead, humanists triumphantly declared their victory and signified the death of the Bible as the Word of God, and as a result, the death of Christianity as an intelligent faith. However, the victory was not total, for there have always been supporters of geocentrism until this very day. Bible believers. Among the most famous and capable of the early geocentric defenders were Tycho Brahe and three generations of the Parisian astronomers, the Cassini. Because most people are not Christians, and because most Christians are not creationists, and because most creationists are not geocentrists, the secular view will prevail and dominate our culture, and those of us who hold to the true biblical model of cosmology will be rare. Understand, you're going to be rare. That's okay. Even among the most staunch creationists, there are many who consciously reject geocentricity in favor of heliocentrism with its unproven assumptions, not realizing, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, they don't even realize it alone is at the root of all subsequent isms. There should be no schism in the body, right? So we should be students of isms. We should be on guard for isms. By analogy, this would almost seem to add new meaning to the biblical phrase, narrow is the way. Matthew 7:14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You understand, because of the Copernican Revolution, some great things happened. Some great isms were born of this. Evolutionism, Darwinism, Big Bangism, materialism, sensationalism, sentimentalism, pragmatism, Copernicanism, humanism, occultism, which is Catholicism, to include all Protestantism, militarism, patriotism, nationalism. A lot of isms. There's a lot of isms. But you get the point. It's not God's will that there be any schisms in the body, His church, His bride. Do you struggle with any isms? Do you? I'm talking to you. Each individual in this room, do you struggle with any isms? Because I do. I know there's at least one person that struggles with isms. So if you struggle with isms, Jesus is ready, willing, and able to help you out with that. That's ultimately between you and God. We who hold the geocentricity as the biblical cosmological model believe that. Copernicanism itself, which sent the Lord's footstool revolving with a spin, forms a historic trail. We can see it since the Copernican Revolution. We can trace an historic trail. It goes like this. Heliocentrism. Then uniformitarianism. And then from that we get evolutionism. Then we get extraterrestrialism, exobiology. Criticism of the Bible. Relativism. Marxism. Fascism. Which leads to eugenics. The last three thriving on a diet of Darwinianism, which is survival of the fittest. Postmodernism, cultural and social disintegration, despair, suicide, mass shootings, etc., etc., etc. Strike at the root. Stop striking at the fruit. Evolution. Strike at the root. The root is biblical criticism, not believing the words of God, not willing to obey God, not humbling yourself. Amen. We see all of these. Geocentrists, Bible believers, biblicists, we see this. We see these things. And we have the answer for all of it. The Bible and Jesus Christ, ultimately. They all have their roots traceable. You can trace it to Copernicanism. Nicholas Copernicus said, by his very persuasion in writing and actions that the Bible is wrong about the nature of the universe. Each one of the above listed isms historically preceded and led to the next as falling dominoes, each one following suit and in turn proclaiming the demise of the Bible, denying that it is the inspired, inerrant, the final authority, and trustworthy, until today we find ourselves living in a decidedly post-Christian heathen world. We know why the world's in the shape it's in now. We know why Christianity is in the woodshed. We know, you can know some things. It's important. If creationists would take inventory of their beliefs and consider that God spoke the world into the cosmos, into existence in six literal days. So I'm a creationist. I'm a young earth creationist. Okay? And I'm going to take inventory of my beliefs. So here I am. I'm going to take inventory of my belief. I believe that God spoke the world and the cosmos into existence in six literal days, and that there was a great worldwide flood. I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, and he performed supernatural acts. He was crucified, dead, and buried, then rose again 3 days later. All of these being exceedingly great miracles that modern science will never be able to explain or have anything to do with. Then on top of all that, we read that he upholdeth all things by the might of his power, Hebrews 1 in verse 3. The creationists believe all that. Creationists believe all those things. Then after all of this, what is their problem with geocentricity? When it comes to geocentricity, they back off. How's it sound? How's it sound? What is your problem? I did it. What is your problem? That's what the girl asked us when we were out street preaching. What exactly is your problem? Well, I say the same thing to the heliocentrist creationists, all these bigwigs. What is your problem?
Amen. Come on.
What is your problem? What is your problem? What is your problem teaching science in a government school, teaching heliocentrism, claiming to be a street preacher out on the street, preaching the everlasting gospel of grace to lost and dying sinners? What is your problem? Why do you believe that? Why do you believe that garbage? When the Bible is clear all the way through and through, it's clearly the biblical paradox is geocentricity. Paradox is a belief system. When you have biblical paradigm, when you have a paradigm shift, your beliefs shift. The biblical paradigm is geocentricity. See this? You don't think God changes a person? Before I was saved, I had a very limited vocabulary, and I still do. But, you know, like, I was a very profane person. It's disgusting when you listen to some of these people, the profanity that just pours out of their mouth. It's coming from their heart because they're lost. God, I say when I give my testimony, God gave me a lot of things when I was saved. He gave me a vocabulary too. But I mean, He'll give you a vocabulary. He'll give you your mind back. Glory to God. So, in spite of this fact that they're backing off from geocentricity and they do not catch on to this vital matter of this inconsistency. They don't see that that's inconsistent. So I tell you, the world sees it. The world knows it. The world doesn't want to tackle geocentricity because they're going to be found for being the liars that they are. The good news is that God still has, as it were, 7,000 which have not bowed the knee unto Baal, 1 Kings 19:18, and I mean that in a spiritual sense. I understand that those were actual people that didn't bow their knee to Baal, But in a spiritual sense, in a real spiritual sense, God still has those people. We haven't bowed our knee to the scientific establishment, which despises God's words. Some of the reasons given for rejecting geocentricity, for heliocentrism, especially among creation groups and ministries, these schisms, include such things as fear of losing credibility among colleagues. I've even heard it. You're going to lose all your credibility if you keep going down this road. Fear of losing credibility among colleagues. Fear of losing financial support among patrons, subscribers, or supporters. Fear of ridicule from the scientific community, etc. On this point, they will let modern science rule, even though it contradicts Scripture. In other words, ultimately, there is the fear of man rather than the fear or reverence and respect for the Word of God on this vitally important point. For most creationists, it seems to be too steep of a grade to negotiate or too difficult of a field to plow. Some will equate it with flat earthism. However, it is nothing of the sort. A flat earth can be easily disproven by casual observation. Geocentricity cannot be disproven by casual observation, let alone modern scientific methods and philosophy. Another way out is by alleged phenomenological interpretations of geocentric passages of Scripture. Well, that's just the way it looks. It just looks like God just said it like that because it's the way it's just a phenomenological, these phenomenological interpretations, bad hermeneutics there. Others say that it is merely an outdated polemic of a bygone error. I also learned what a polemics was. Polemics? By studying geocentricity. Polemicist. The Baptist polemicist. That was going to be my blog. Polemics. We're not afraid to tackle controversial subjects. Even today, a close examination of the pages of Holy Scripture will show that this King James Bible is clearly geocentric in its cosmology. The original reason why the Bible is now ridiculed is only because that the flag of modern science has been put on top of that mast, above the Bible. The Copernican Revolution was a fiery missile sent straight from the abyss that drew in so many able promoters and followers in the past four centuries and caused such a massive paradigm shift, there you go, in Western thought, science, and culture that no other event in modern history compares to it to the degree in which it brought about the downfall of biblical veracity in the minds of men. The fallout of this bitter fruit of the Renaissance was the long chain of before-mentioned isms, which are taught in the government educational systems and in most churches today. Scientific establishments and in the media. The propaganda outlets. It was an attack on the Word of God, most clever and ingenious. As a result, truth has become a rare commodity in the world today. The bottom line is the question of authority. Is the King James Bible the greatest authority, or is it subsequent to the proclamations of modern science? Ask yourself that question. So, regarding geocentricity, the supremacy and authority of this book is the real issue. When Walter Vanderkamp in 1967, that was a real good year, 1967. That's the year that Walter Vanderkamp launched the modern geocentricity movement that we're a part of. At least I am. I hope you are too. And I was also born in 1967. That was a good year. So Walter Vanderkamp comes along in 1967, not too long ago. It was the result. When he launched this modern geocentricity movement, it was a result of his conclusion and conviction that the earth was not only central spiritually in God's affections and purposes, but also central and immovable in the physical universe, according to the Bible and orthodox biblical hermeneutics. Even a careful examination of the matter from true science and all the many experiments which prove geocentricity is friendly and agrees with the Bible. There's literally no excuse to concede this ground to the devil. Why did the churches, this is why Christianity, Dr. Bao explained, this is why Christianity's in the woodshed. This is why the world is in the shape it's in today. We shouldn't have conceded that ground to the devil. No excuses. Christianity has no excuses. Given the timing in history of God in giving us our Bible, which represented a first time in history event, I remind you, and the Renaissance, which represented a return to Greek humanism with its many gods, both movements have occurred almost at the same time. It seems that the Prince of the Power of the Air, Ephesians 2:2, had his program ready and in place to counter the Bible. That shouldn't be surprising to anybody. And the progress to counter the Bible and the progress of Christian growth. The first bitter fruit of this time period was the Copernican Revolution, which was in about 1543. And Copernicus didn't have his book Revolutions published till after his death because he was chicken of the Roman Catholic Church and the Inquisition. He was just a coward. You know, so that's who this guy is. Yes, true science agrees with the Bible. Both a true statement and a title of a wonderful book written by Malcolm Bowden, a geocentrist. How many geocentricity books do we have in our libraries? You know, we're homeschooling our children and so forth. And I warn you, you know, all this heliocentrism and stuff is in the homeschool curriculum. So we need to get that out of there. The earth is a unique place in the universe where Jesus Christ came, where the gospel is preached, and where the angels desire to look into, 1 Peter 1:12. And the earth is also ridiculed through this Copernican Revolution. This took place within the realm of the Queen of Sciences, astronomy. After it was said that the Word of God is wrong about the station and status of the earth, later men, the geologists, said that scriptures were wrong about the age of the earth. The geologists, with their great ages of geologic history, thence paved the way for Darwin and his evolutionary theory, which needed the geologists, great ages for the fulfillment of evolution. Continuing this process were many names. Hence, the biblical idea of geocentricity has been considered a long dead idea. However, little realized by most Christians is the fact that modern science has not actually proven the superiority of the present theoretical model of the universe. But because of its power, prestige, persuasiveness, and even deception, modern science decrees and proclamations have come to dominate the present-day world and life view in the minds of men at the expense of what? Soul-saving truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
The issue here is not one of science, but one of inerrancy and preservation of Scripture, especially in light of the ever-changing perverted pronouncements of modern science, falsely so-called. Geocentricity is a cosmological viewpoint that is not only actually still recognized today as the cosmological paradigm of the Bible, but is, as said, of strategic importance to the inspiration, inerrancy, and final authority of the King James Bible. It's this preacher's hope, prayer, and trust that the hearer will take heart and consider the importance of the message of true biblical cosmology. Okay. Just want to show you one more thing. We'll be done. See, I had this. This is coming to us from the Dr. John Clark Memorial Academy in Kenyon, Minnesota, a very prestigious private school. And I think I showed this to you before. Does anyone remember seeing this? This is when you study geocentricity, you learn about the Copernican Hydra. This right here is a representation. This is like a, this is the Hydra, right? And the story is, like, you're going to, as soon as you cut the head off this Hydra, it would just grow another head. Worse than was there before in most cases. So that's a, so what Walter Vanderkamp said in his letter that he sent out to the two most fundamentalist schools and universities in the United States and to all these Bible-believing churches in 1967, he sent them this letter called The Heart of the Matter. And the two fundamental universities never acknowledged receipt of the letter, and most everyone else just ignored it too. But Walter said in that book, which I have that right here. That's Walter Vanderkamp, and there he is. And I got the whole. It's called The Heart of the Matter, and he said on that Copernican Hydra, we should concentrate our attacks. That's what he was saying to the modern day creationist movement. We should concentrate our attacks on the Copernican Hydra. Because right here, I wrote, like, on this one head here, he's getting ready to bash this head off here. It says evolution. And you could write all kinds of different things. And so if you attack, you know, if you're attacking evolution, well, you've, congratulations, you've cut the head off this Hydra, but just going to, it's just going to, we're seeing it now. Evolution's dead. I mean, we have effectively beat that horse dead. There's no question that the Darwin's theory of evolution isn't right. Even Darwin himself didn't believe it. We've beat that horse dead. But what the earth, it still keeps going on in this Antichrist world, and all these bad things keep happening. The Copernican Hydra, this doubting of God's words and the authority of God's words, that's a result of the Copernican Revolution. So we should try to get that ground back. That's just my opinion. It's directly tied in with the authority of the Holy Scripture. It's a wonderful, very in-depth study. They took them out, the boxes of books. See, I got, this was the day of boxes of books. I got a whole box full. Look at this. Very Catholic, Robertson Genis. But Galileo was wrong. The church was right. If we wrote this book, we'd say Galileo was wrong. The Bible is right. But he's a Catholic, so very Catholic. But these books were Catholics. Nice books. They were $200 a piece. I'll sell them to you today for 50% off. $100 a piece for those. I haven't even cracked them open. Written by a Catholic. I can't get into that. Malcolm Bowden, true science agrees with the Bible. You know, the earth is not moving. Marshall Hall. Great. John Bile, God in the Cosmos. Right here, a great, wonderful TR man, one of my favorites, TR men, but he's a geocentrist, so, Thomas Strauss, he maketh his sun to rise, a look at biblical geocentricity. He looks at the hermeneutics of, unarguable, you can't, unanswerable, these things, these men. Is our English Bible inspired, Sam Gipp. It's inspired. When you're a geocentrist, you can write books like this. Jerry Bowe wrote this book, The Book of Bible Problems, because the world has a problem with something. Well, God looks to the men who believe his words, and then you're able to write a book and explain these so-called problems or these issues, because you don't despise the words of God. James Hansen, a close personal friend with Jerry Bowe. And Jerry Bowe, he's not doing well, and we should pray for him and his family. He's in Ohio in a Baptist church, Manaway. I think that's how you pronounce Manaway Baptist Church. I keep an eye on the bulletin. They send me their church bulletin every week, and I see that they're still on the prayer list. So I know he hasn't passed away, but he's not doing well at all. But he was a close friend with James Hansen. There, they were co-laborers in the geocentricity movement and so forth. And the saddest thing, one of the saddest things I ever heard was I was talking to Dr. Bao on the phone one day, and I was trying to get information, trying to get books, he said there is no more biblical astronomer. That's what he told me. That was about 2 years ago. There is no more biblical astronomer. And I said, that was very sad to me. I said, as long as he's still here with us on this earth, there is a biblical astronomer. And I want to be, number one, I want to be like Jesus. Number two, I want to be like Jerry Bao, you know, and I want to be, we can be those biblical astronomers, you know, and I want to encourage us in that. The Fixed Idea of Astronomical Theory by August Titchener. I mean, we didn't need to seed this ground. If you want to know about the Copernican Revolution, a fable for educated men. It's a fable, it's a collection of responses to Dr. Danny Faulkner's geocentrism in creation, in quotes, as promoted in Answers in Genesis. You want to hear, this really explains the whole thing between the creationists. I will not self-identify as a creationist. I am a geocentrist. I'm a Bible-believing Baptist geocentrist. I'm not a creationist. These creationists, I got no use for them. There's that track, Brother Ryan. I found it, digging through all the stuff. You can write a track. The scriptures tell us how to go to heaven and how the heavens go. An answer to humanism and science falsely so-called. You can write a gospel track. You can do all kinds of stuff. We can do all kinds of stuff for God. You know, honoring the authority of the King James Bible, it's a wonderful thing. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for taking our lives and changing them, Lord, and sending your Son to die for us and rise again the third day. And we can put our faith and our trust and know, Lord, that we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. And I thank you for this church and everything it stands for. Bless our pastor and Brother Andrew as they're overseas, long way away. Bring them back to us safely, we pray. And bless this food we're about to receive to our bodies. We love you, Lord, and I pray that all the honor and glory goes to you. And help us, Lord, to focus like a laser beam in these last days on your word, to not forsake it, not despise it, to believe your word simply as you've written them, Lord, and to have exercised this faith, so that we can be effective agents and ambassadors for you in this earth. Sin is the problem. You're the solution. And nothing's going to change unless you convert a human heart. And that's what this church is built upon, the truth that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is God, and we have all these things. You are a wonderful, gracious God who has blessed us above all measure. Bless all of us here today, and bless all the hearers. If anyone hears this message, I pray it be a blessing to their heart and be a key to open up the scriptures even more to them today. I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.